is the name of our God. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, but worthy of obedience. This is the time when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. I think today is the day for Big City Store, isn't it? Man, yeah. That's why all these guys showed up today. Spend them big city bucks. It's awesome. If you have your Bible, if you will, find Genesis chapter 11. I have been, I guess, harboring this series in my heart for a while. I've wanted to preach on it, to share what our journey of faith is like, and that we are called to a journey of faith. Oftentimes we think of faith as a destination. Okay, I have faith in God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and faith is where I arrive for salvation. But what has happened is we've made faith a destination. We express our faith, or we have faith in God and we have faith in Jesus, and we get saved, and we think that's where faith kind of resides, and it just is a place that we kind of settle into. But actually what has happened is God has invited us into a faith journey. Faith is not a destination. Faith is a journey. Faith is a process. Faith is a process of becoming and continually changing and continually growing in our understanding of God, growing in our obedience to God, growing in our faith in God. Paul puts it this way, that he says that we are to grow from faith to faith. And faith is not a destination somewhere we hope to get to one day. Faith is a process in which we grow and we become more understanding, and we get better at walking by faith and trusting God. So as I've been thinking about this for a while and really wanting to preach on the life of Abraham, one of the reasons is because it was from the life of Abraham that God got hold of my heart to give in and to submit to His desire for my life rather than my own. And surrendering to the ministry that I knew He wanted me to be in. It came from a series that was preached on the life of Abraham. And so I have a very strong affinity for Abraham and the story of Abraham and how he walked with God. But I also want us to see, as we look at this journey of faith that Abraham was called to, it's the same journey that we have. And in this journey that Abraham takes, we learn a lot about God and the character of God, the call of God, the person of God, the power of God, but we also learn a lot about the faithfulness of God and understanding that we're never going to walk perfectly on this journey. And if you know anything about the life of Abraham, Abraham did not walk perfectly with God, but yet he was called a friend of God. And it was his faith that compelled him to do what he did, and to even in repentance. You know, that's part of the process, this journey of faith. Part of it is repenting when we find ourselves in a mess. So I want us to look at today and kind of kick off this series on the faith journey. Not developing faith, but the faith journey. And we're all on that journey. Jesus said, anyone that would come after me. Now, if you're coming after Christ, if you're going after Christ, you're not sitting in the same spot. You're moving with Him. He says you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Again, that idea of a faith journey that we're on. And you and I individually, and we as a church, must be moving forward in this process of following, this process of becoming who Christ would have us to be, this process of becoming more faithful and growing in our faith and growing in our understanding. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at the life of Abraham and Sarai. And we're going to look at the journey that God called them to. And we're going to try and discover some, some things about God, some things about Abraham, and hopefully, in the process, some things about us. Okay? Well, if you would, stand with me as we begin in Genesis chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to read down through verse 6 of Genesis 12. It says, "Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah, in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was barren. She had no children. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.' So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they went and set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land." God, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for your call on our lives. God, the invitation to follow you, the invitation to be with you and to be under your authority. And so, God, as I try and just expound on your word, God, I pray that you would just open my heart and my mind. God, you would speak through me. You would anoint your words to challenge our hearts. God, to propel us forward in this faith journey. And God, I pray today, if there's someone here that has not started that journey in Christ Jesus, God, today would be the day of salvation, that they would plant that spiritual marker, and Lord, they would submit and surrender their hearts and their lives to you, and they would heed your call to follow. Lord, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power to enable us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you remember in Genesis, this is the beginning of society, the beginning of humanity. This is after the flood. This is after the Tower of Babel. If you back up in chapter 11, you'll see the account of the Tower of Babel, how languages developed and God separated the people to where they would do what he told them to do in Genesis. And then again, after Noah was rescued from the flood, he said to multiply and to fill the earth. But they had all gathered and kind of stayed together. Rather than doing what God told them to do, is to subdue all the earth and to fill all the earth, they were just wanting to hang around close together and develop a name for themselves. All this is in Genesis chapter 11. Well, as you see the growth and the lineage of the different sons of Noah, Terah is one of the descendants of Shem. And Terah, it says, was the father of three sons. And so we picked up in verse 27 just with that one little section where it talks about the descendants. And I thought it was interesting that of the three sons that Terah had, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. Says that they lived in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, how many of you know the geography and where Ur is located? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just a place, a name. But just, I want you to kind of think with me for a minute, because it's important, I believe, where this is all located. If you think of the Middle East and you think of Israel, today's Israel, over near the Mediterranean Sea, if you go east of there, across the desert, over into where the Persian Gulf is located. Ur is just north of the Persian Gulf. Okay? It's a great distance. If you went across the desert, it would be a short distance, but it's the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, where Babylonians finally developed, the Babylonians that take over and defeat Jerusalem later on. But it's a land that's a good distance away, and it says that Terah decided, it doesn't say that God told him, but Terah decided he wanted to go to the land of Canaan. Now, rather than going across the desert, if you looked at a map, all the rivers flowed from the north to the south, and so he followed the Euphrates rivers up to a place called Haran. And that's a journey of about 700 miles. It's a pretty significant little walk. So he goes from the land of Ur, goes up to Haran, but was going to come back down into Canaan. He was going to follow the rivers where the water was, where things were, provision was provided. But it says that of his three sons, that one of them, named Haran, died, and left his grandson Lot under Terah's care. So Lot went with them when they went to Haran. Now, I think it's interesting that his son is named Haran, and the city where he stopped is named Haran. You ever thought of that? I never had until I started looking and studying at this. But he died in the land of Ur, where Haran died, and his father left with Sarai, and Lot, and all their possessions, and they left where Haran died and went to the city of Haran and stopped. His goal was Canaan. But when he found a city that was named after his son, he stopped, and it says that they dwelt there. I think it's significant in that God knew where he wanted Abraham to go, who he wanted Abraham to become, and where he wanted Abram and Sarah to go. And his father got him as far as Haran, but he couldn't get past, I think, the loss of his son. Think about it. This man buried his son in the land of Ur, and he's journeying, wanting to go to Canaan. And I don't know that he knew Haran was there. I don't know if he just wound up to this place that was named Haran, and his son was named Haran, and he just got stuck. But he had a place to go. He had a destination he was headed, but he got to the place called Haran, named after his son, and he couldn't get past Haran. And he settled in there. God knew that he wanted Abram to go to Canaan, but Terah just couldn't get past his son's death. And so God was at work to get Abram close, but he wasn't able to get there with his dad. God was involved, and God was at work in the background, I believe, as Abraham was moving, and he was wanting Abraham to get to this place, because God has not spoken to Abraham yet. God has not called Abraham to go to the land of Canaan yet. That was just his father's idea. And so his dad moved him 700 miles to Haran, and they dwelt there, and then his dad died there. And it's after the death of his dad, Abram had a choice to make. Either go back to what he knew, about 700 miles back down to Ur, go back to his family, go back to safety, go back to security, go back to where he had family, or he could stay where he's at. just hang out in Haran, hang out in this new place, hang out where there's still plenty of food, still plenty of flocks. He's still being being blessed. He's still growing in riches. It says that he gained not only flocks in Haran, not only possessions in Haran, but he also gained people in Haran. He gained servants in Haran. So he was doing really well right where he was. But God said, I've got something else for you. Instead of going back where you've been, instead of staying where you are, he says, I've got somewhere I want you to go. And he tells him, it says in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord said to Abraham, God had gotten him this far with his father. God had gotten to this place where his father was going to take him to Canaan, but he just couldn't get there with his dad. And so he had to choose if he was going to continue to where God wanted him to be. He had a choice to make. You know, I think of that oftentimes in my own life. I've got parents that love the Lord. My mom loves the Lord. She's struggling with some dementia right now. She's not the person she used to be, but she has always loved God. She has always served God. She has always led us to serve God. My dad loves the Lord. My dad has always been a godly man. My dad has always taken us to church. He didn't send us, he took us. He was a great example to us. Wasn't a perfect man, but a godly man. But see, I had to choose at some point whether my mom and dad's journey would become my journey or I would just simply hang out where they got me to. A good person, a good raisin, good example, but yet not following God on my own. See, at some point, our parents' journey has got to become our journey. And we've got to choose, am I going to continue on this faith journey? Am I going to go where God wants me to go? Am I going to personally submit to God's desire for my life? And that's where Abraham was. God said, Abram, I've got somewhere I want you to go. And Abram could have said, no, I think I'm happy right here where I am in Haran. My life's going good. I'm making plenty of money. I've got plenty of stuff. I'm comfortable. I can stay right here and just be a good person and everything be good. I can even go back to my home country where all my family's at. And I can go back there. But God, I don't want to go this place that you're calling me to. I'm kind of comfortable right where I'm at. I'm a good person. I'm not causing any trouble. Life's going good. Everything's awesome. I don't need to follow you anywhere further. I'm just good right where I am. But Abram chose to start this journey of faith. This place where he doesn't know anything about it. God says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I want you to see that not only was God at work in the background to bring Terah to this point in Haran, where Abram now has just simply got to make the step and follow into Canaan where God wants him to go, but the faith journey always has two parts. We've got to leave from something and go to something. See, our faith journey is that we've got to leave some things so that we can gain some things. We've got to go from what we've always known. We've got to go from comfort and security and step out into what God has for us. The call to follow God, this faith journey is always a call to leave something and go to something. Jesus put it this way when he was talking to his disciples. He said, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to follow me, if anyone wishes to be my disciple. So if you want to be something, if you want to go to a place, you want to become something, he says, this is what you've got to do. You've got to deny yourself. We've got to come from something. We've got to leave being our own boss. We've got to leave determining our own destiny. We've got to leave our own desires. He says, you've got to die to yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You've got to leave self and come to the cross. You've got to leave self and start a journey of following me, with me in charge, with me determining what your life is like, what your goals are, how you think, what your passions are after. The faith journey is always a call to leave something and come to something. Now, it's different for all of us. I don't know what God's calling you to. Part of my faith journey is to leave my own desires for my career and my own desires for what I wanted for my life and to pastor churches, to be a pastor, to lead churches and to preach and to do things that I'm not comfortable doing. Maybe that's your journey. Maybe God's calling you to pastor or some form of ministry. Maybe He's calling you to just be a godly doctor or lawyer or a godly mechanic or someone that is following Him, whatever your station is life is. But He's always calling you from self and to Him. Into obedience. So he says, God spoke to him and said, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house. Go from what you know. Go from your security. Go from your comfort. Go from everything you've always known. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you. We're called to a journey. And sometimes that journey has a definite place, a mark in the ground. I want you to go here and I want you to do this. And sometimes it's a journey of just the next step of obedience. I don't know where my next destination is. I don't know what God has for me long term. But what I do know is I'm going to be obedient for my next step of whatever it looks like in this journey. And so God called Abraham to go to a land that I'm going to show you. He knows it's a land, don't know where the land is, don't know what the land looks like, don't know what the problems are going to be, don't know what the issues are going to be, don't know how great it's going to be. He just says, I want you to leave everything you know, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. So in this journey of Abraham, it's simply a journey of, okay, what's the next step of obedience? Where do I go next? Where's the next place I need to go? How do I need to do this? And so God calls us to a journey. He very seldom ever calls us to a destination. Sometimes we'll definitely have places that we wind up in our journey. But if we have a set destination, then we'll get there. If we ever show up there, we're resistant in ever leaving there. Now, my journey is kind of strange as far as pastors go. I wasn't a youth minister. I wasn't called to youth ministry, and I'm thankful God didn't call me to youth ministry. Love youth, love being around them, but I'm just not. God didn't call me to be a youth pastor. D-Wayne, God bless you, brother. I'm thankful for guys like you, women that are called and men that are called to lead youth. He didn't call me to that. He called me to be a worship leader first. Strange, because I didn't know anything about music. Strange, because I didn't know anything about bands. Couldn't play an instrument, never been in a band, never was in high school band, marching band, nothing. But no, there was no shadow of a doubt that that's what God called me to do. But I think that, I know the reason for that is that God wanted to show me something in that process. He doesn't need ability, he needs availability. Just say yes, be obedient, and then the rest of it's up to him. Because if you look at the story of Abraham, the promise, the call that God gave to Abraham, he says, I want you to leave some things. I want you to go from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. And he didn't say, I want you to take it over. He didn't say, I want you to make sure that all the people of that land are run out. I want you to make sure that you're able to build a house. He says, no, I just want you to go, and this is what I'm going to do. All right? He didn't want Abraham to be able to take over the land. He just wanted him to be obedient and that he would do what needed to be done. It says, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, the things that he said, this Abraham's part, were very simple. You shall be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. See, that was the whole purpose of Abraham's journey. It wasn't so Abraham would be seen as some mighty person or some great leader or some kingdom builder. He was just simply to be obedient. God said, I will provide for you. I will protect you. I will do all these things. And you just simply be a blessing. See, so oftentimes that's the basis of our journey. You and I are saved not so that we can be somebody. We're saved so we can be a blessing. It's the whole purpose of our faith journey. The whole purpose of us walking with the Lord and being called out and being saved and God demonstrating His power and His faithfulness to us. This journey is not so that we can be somebody, but so that we can be a blessing. That's the whole purpose of this journey. And see, when we understand the purpose of our journey, then the twists and turns, the faith that it takes, the next step of obedience is much easier because it's not about me, it's about God and other people. Jesus put it this way. He was asked by one of the Pharisees, what's the greatest commandment? He says, well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. If you're going to be a disciple of God, you've got to love God. That's the number one thing we need to focus on, loving God. Being obedient. It says the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, all the law and the prophets hang. Now, what does that mean? Our faith journey is about two things. The goal of our faith journey is about two things. Loving God and loving people. It's not about you. See, we've made our salvation, we've made this faith journey about me personally. It's all about me. God wants to bless me. God wants to take care of me. God wants to make me comfortable. No, God wants you to demonstrate your love for Him and obedience, and He wants you to be a blessing to people. Abram was called to a journey of obedience, not for Abram's sake, but for other people's sake. God says, I will bless you so you will be a blessing. Yeah, God wants to bless you. The Bible is full of God's blessing to His people. God has all kinds of promises for you and me, the children of God. God has promised to take care of us. Matthew 6:33. Man, anxiety. He says, look, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat or where you're going to live. He says, even the Gentiles worry about these things. He says, you don't worry about those. You just seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll provide all these other things. There are all kinds of promises in God's word for His children. There are all kinds of things God says, I will do for you in His word. But the reason He blesses us is so that we can be a blessing to other people. It's not about the blessing. It's not about getting what God has for me. Anything God gives me is so that I can be a blessing to others. So I can help others on their faith journey. So I can be a demonstration of how God is faithful when I don't understand how things are going to do. The power, the might, the grace, the mercy of God, the presence of God. All of those things are mine so that other peoples will see and they can be helped along on their journey of faith. Maybe it's the start of the journey of faith. Maybe it's an encouragement to continue in obedience. It says, you leave some things and go to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you places you'd never go. I'm going to tell you, in my own desires and my own abilities, I would have never chosen to be a pastor. Wouldn't want to do it. But now I wouldn't do anything else. Go to a place that I'm going to show you. He's going to take you places where you'd never go. He's going to produce in you what you can't see. He says, and I will make you a great nation. Remember, It said very plainly, back up in the end of chapter 11, that Sarai was his wife and Sarai was barren, which meant she had no children. One of the requirements of becoming a great nation is people. And he ain't got a one. But yet God says, I'll make you a great nation. You don't have any children. You're 75 years old. Sarai's 65. No kids. I don't know many 75-year-olds and 65-year-old women that's wanting a baby. Or even can have a baby. But God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm sure Abram and Sarai couldn't see how that was going to happen. But yet they believed. They trusted that God was going to do something and produce something they couldn't see. He says, I will bless you. God says, I'm going to provide what you need, your provision. And I'll make your name great. I'll give you renown. I'll give you fame. I will give you a name that's repeated throughout the generations. You're going to be a blessing. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. I will be the one that protects you. I'll be the one that takes care of your reputation. You don't even have to worry about that. Just be obedient. Just start this journey, and I'm going to provide what you can't. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God says, Abram, if you'll start this journey with me, you're going to impact the world. See, that's something that we don't understand. Your faith journey, how you walk in obedience with the Lord, how you respond in faith or a lack of faith, determines your legacy of faith. And you and I, who seem so insignificant in this world, so minor in a major group of people, billions of people in the world, and I'm just one. But when I follow God faithfully, when I'm on this journey with Him, and I walk in obedience with Him, I will impact the world. It'll start with your kids. And then your grandkids, your friends, your brothers and sisters, your nephews and nieces. I want you to just think about for just a minute the number of people that you come in contact on a daily basis at work, your people you work with, your boss. Maybe it's a client that you run into almost on a weekly basis or a daily basis. Your children, your spouse, your relatives that are close to you. The number of people that you have an influence for the kingdom with. Think about that number. And then when you influence one of them, think about the number of people that one person influences. And if you can share the gospel with them and they can start their faith journey, the number of people that they will encounter on a daily basis, and the number of people that they will have influence for the kingdom over. And it doesn't add up, it multiplies. So you, one person, when we walk in obedience with the Lord, when we start this faith journey and we stay on this faith journey, you will impact the world. Maybe your great-grandson or granddaughter will be a preacher. Maybe they'll be a missionary that goes to the ends of the earth taking the gospel because of the legacy you left in obedience and faithfulness to the Lord. See, Abraham wasn't sent to a destination. He was sent on a journey. He was sent on a process of taking one step of obedience and then taking the next step of obedience and the next step of obedience and the next step of obedience, letting God determine where he winds up and who he influences and what he does and where he goes. And it's just the next step of obedience is how you take a journey. What's the old Chinese proverb? A journey of 1,000 miles, taking one step at a time. A journey of faith, taking one step at a time. To maintain this journey of faith, to stay on this journey of faith, it's simply, what's my next step of obedience? God, what's the next thing you want me to do? Who's the next person you want me to share the gospel with? God, well, how do you want me to respond in this situation? God, how do you want me to approach this problem? God, how do you want me to deal with this issue in my family or between me and my spouse or my kids or the coworker that asked for it? God, what is it that you want me to share with them? It's the next step of obedience is where the journey takes place. Instead of thinking just 10 years from now, God, what you want me to do, where you want me to be, that's a destination. God, what's the next step? What's the next word? What's the next response? That's how you take a journey. A journey of faith. A journey in a car. I know I want to get to Fort Seal when I leave here, but the next thing I'm worried about is what's the next turn I got to take. If I don't take that turn, I'm never going to make it to where I know I want to be. It's the same with your faith journey. If you want to be Christ-like, but you never take the next turn, the next step of obedience towards it, you're never going to get there. You're just going to waste a lot of time mulling around, accomplishing nothing, never getting where you want to be. Maybe you're here today and you feel like, man, I know that this gospel thing is true. I know that God is real, and I just feel this need to surrender my life to Him. I understand that. But if you don't take that step of faith and surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of God's Word, if you never take that step, you're never going to start the journey. You're just going to spin your wheels, try to be a good person, and you're never going to get where you want to be in a relationship with the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't take that turn, no other turn is going to get you in a relationship with the Lord. That's your next step in your faith journey. Well, maybe I know I've taken that step and I'm saved and the Holy Spirit's in me and I want to honor God. Well, what's your next step of obedience? It may be that you've still got some stuff you need to leave. You're still holding on to some things that God says let go of, but you're just too afraid to. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a way of thinking. Maybe it's a desire. Paul tells us that we are to put off all of those sins that so easily entangle us and put on the coat of righteousness. See, you've got a responsibility in this journey. You've got to take the step. And then God will keep His word. So maybe you're here today and your next step of obedience is repentance. Putting away some things. Saying, yes, God. Maybe your next step of obedience is letting go of the long-range plans. Okay, God, where am I going to be in 10 years? Maybe God's not ready for you to know that yet. What's more important is what are you going to do tomorrow in that relationship? What are you going to do tomorrow at work? What are you going to do tomorrow in your marriage? What are you going to do tomorrow to deal with this issue? Maybe that's where God says your focus needs to be. Just the next step. Whatever that is, just say yes. Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteous. Now, how did we know Abraham believed? Because he went. He cut out. God said, go, and he obeyed. See, that's how we know how we're doing on our journey. That's how we demonstrate our belief in God. Faith that's not exercised is not real faith. Faith that doesn't change the way you live is not real faith. Faith that doesn't cause you to be obedient to the Word of God is not real faith. The faith that was counted to Abraham as righteousness was faith that compelled him to be obedient to God's Word. Even when he didn't know what the long-range goal was, just take the next step. Church, I pray about, you know, where we're going to be in 10 years. God, I want us to have a vision for what he wants us to become as a church. And I think there's a great vision in the church in Acts chapters 2, 3, and 4. If we can become like that, it'd be awesome. Sometimes we get so caught up in vision and 10-year plans and 20-year plans and long-range planning, we forget just the next step of obedience. The next person we get to love on, the next person we get to share the gospel with. We'll never get to where we want to be if we don't take the right turn now in the next step of obedience. So church, we're on a faith journey. Person, you're on a faith journey if you know Jesus. If you're not and you want to start that faith journey, it starts with Jesus, but you can't do it unless you say yes to him. So whatever your next step is, just say yes. And see what God will do. Let's stand.